It's time for the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now here's Ryan Wallace on the Golden Knights Radio Network.
Welcome into the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. The Golden Knights fall 2-1 in overtime to the Columbus Blue Jackets, 31-15 and 668 points on the year. Different night, similar story for the Vegas Golden Knights in this one. And to help us break it down, we go back to the radio booth, bringing the voice of the Golden Knights, Dan Duva. And you know what, Dan? I heard you talking with Gary there right after the game ended. And tonight, to me too, did feel like a step backwards for the Golden Knights.
They scored 5 minutes in, and the first period had all sorts of really good opportunities. It felt like they were close. They just did not put the puck in the net. They just slightly off, and give credit to the Blue Jackets as well for surviving all of that and getting a goal that, you probably don't like to see go in. Samsonov has made a save. The puck is, seemingly right at his feet, at his skeets, at his knees, and he couldn't seal it. And Fantilli kind of pries it off his pad and pushes it across the goal line. So he really didn't like that goal. Not just Samsonov, the fact that the teammates couldn't box out enough around him. In the first period, Knights got 12 shots on goal, 24 attempts. Nine of those 24 attempts missed the net. Just slightly off. That they had the opportunities. They had the Blue Jackets on their heels at times in the first period. But after that, I did not think that they really found much. There were a couple of great saves by Merzlikins, a couple of great glove saves, but it never felt like the Knights were as dangerous as they had been for that period of the first. And remember, they also had a power play in the first period, but got no shots during that. Again, missing the net. I wondered if Bruce Cassidy would make some adjustments to the forward combinations. As we mentioned a couple games ago against Florida, he brought Mark Stone to play on the fourth line with Ron Bjerg and Howden in that game. And not only did that give the fourth line a jolt, Holtz got an assist on the goal scored by Barbashev and Eichel playing on that top line. And it just made Florida, it made it very difficult for Florida to handle the Golden Knights because of the balance. Today, there were slight tweaks. Pearson moved back up to play with Watt and Kolesar after he had started on the fourth line with Howden and Burke. So Pearson and Lavoie swapped. But other than that, there weren't a whole lot of changes as the game went along. I guess Bruce felt that like this group was close and they deserved to continue playing with one another. It just seemed to me that it just felt, compared to the first period, the game was stale. And I mentioned the time of the game. You had an overtime game that was 2 hours and 20 minutes. That's not a lot of whistles. That's a lot of back and forth without much happening.
I wonder if, because the chances were there for the Golden Knights in the first period, you kind of think that over the course of the next two periods, you're going to be able to find those plays. And it seemed to me a muddy track for the Golden Knights in the offensive zone. You mentioned it, they weren't super dangerous. Should they have just tried to simplify the game a little bit more and force pucks into the middle of the ice to test Elvis Merzlikins a little bit more than they did?
Yeah, perhaps. That's a good question. Depending on, there'd be a knowledge base on how Columbus defends and what Merzlikins does. So it's a good question, Ryan. I'm not sure I have the best answer to that because this team does have so much offensive talent and they can be so creative. You want to see them snap out of it. And Gary mentioned it, and it's a great point. We felt that Stone, Eichel, Barbashev were not quite in sync. And remember, they had scored a goal that was waved off right away because of contact between Eichel and the goaltender. That's one method of driving the offense. But Gary points out in this situation, you're just sort of waiting for them to click. It just takes one. Mm-hmm. And because those guys have been so productive this year and in so many games have registered points, you figured like if you keep them together, it's a matter of time. It just turned out not to be the case. So it's a good question, but I'm sorry to say I don't have a definitive clear-cut answer for you.
So when you look at the horizon for the Golden Knights, four games before the break, Four Nations face-off, it's all on the road. New York trip, you've got the Rangers, the Islanders, the Devils, and the Bruins. What are you looking at for the Golden Knights in anticipation of this upcoming trip?
Yeah, well, I think that for the first time in a while, I really do wonder in terms of, is there going to be a change to the combinations of, of forwards? You know, Cal Burke hadn't played for the Knights since November 29th. Today was his 10th NHL game. Seven of those have come this year. Raphael Lavoie, now two in a row for the Golden Knights. Ron Bjork looked good the other day. You know, Holtz has not played the last couple of games, et cetera, et cetera. So the Knights are, you know, clearly there's, I'll use the term asset management, you would assume here. I'm trying to find the right personnel. But, you know, giving guys an opportunity, the Silver Knights have played great. And credit to the organization and an opportunity for Lavoie, Burke to do well there. We know the All-Star break in the American League is coming up, and Grigory Denisenko is the replacement for Tanner Luzinski, the All-Star game in Coachella Valley, because Tanner is unavailable because of injury. So I do wonder what personnel will be available on this trip and how that might lead Bruce Cassidy to assembling the forward combinations. And, of course, when you're on the road, you don't get to match, you know, you don't get to have the same benefit as when you're playing at home. And you know, like we saw today, you know, Bruce Cassidy saw the fourth line force the Blue Jackets into an icing. That fourth line was on the ice for about 7 seconds. They came off and ozone draw for Eichel, Stone, and Barbashev. You know, that's not something that you really get to do easily on the road. And against teams that have already beaten the Knights this year, the Rangers and the Islanders coming up next. So, yeah, I'm always intrigued in the personnel. Bruce is so smart. He's always got plans, not only for what we see on the ice, but he's got other ideas in his back pocket. So I am curious to see what the lineup will look like when Vegas plays against the Rangers on Sunday.
All right, great stuff as always, Dan. Enjoy the rest of your evening, and we'll chat on Sunday.
Great, thanks, Ryan.
That is the voice of the Golden Knights, Dan Duva, helping us break down a 2-1 loss to the Columbus Blue Jackets in overtime. We're back with more in a moment. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
The Golden Knights scored in the first period tonight, so make sure you have the McDonald's app downloaded to redeem your free French fries of any size at your local McDonald's tomorrow. It's the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. The Golden Knights fall 2-1 in overtime to the Columbus Blue Jackets. Vegas 31-15-6, 68 points on the year, tied with the Edmonton Oilers for the top spot in the Pacific Division. Next in action Sunday, 3 o'clock in New York against the Rangers. The first of a four-game road trip for the Golden Knights leading into the Four Nations face-off. It's not an easy stretch. The Rangers, the Islanders, the Devils, and then finishing things up on Saturday with the Boston Bruins. The postgame injury report is brought to you by UMC, the exclusive hospital of the Vegas Golden Knights, still without William Karlsson and Cole Schwindt. Lower body injuries week to week. Karlsson and Schwindt will not travel for the Golden Knights on this upcoming road trip. So it'll be interesting to see, as you know, we were just talking there with Dan about what it might look like for the Golden Knights. Jonas Rönnberg, who's been really good for the Golden Knights, not in the lineup tonight. Second game in a row for Raphael Lavoie. And then you've got Cal Birkin, who I thought had a lot of jump energy. Certainly the skating was there, but it just didn't feel like for the Golden Knights, bottom six tonight anyway, that there was a lot in terms of threatening offensive possession shifts. And you have to be able to build on that five on five. And I just don't think the Golden Knights were able to roll line over line over line, which brings me to kind of the point that Dan had brought up. And I think it's an important one. It's an interesting one. If you look at this homestand for the Golden Knights, win over Florida and back-to-back overtime losses to Dallas and here tonight to Columbus, the best the Golden Knights looked in terms of ability to roll over four lines, ability to bring that balance into the fold inside of a game, was when they moved Mark Stone away from Jack Eichel and Ivan Barbashev. Now, granted, you had Brett Howden and Jonas Rönnberg in the lineup. That was the line combination with Mark Stone. Alexander Holtz got the bump up to play with Eichel and Barbashev. And you had four lines that you could roll over in key moments and key spots. And I do wonder now, as you go on the road and you know, another point that Dan brought up that I think is worth repeating is that you're not going to get that last change. So you might look for more balance, and I don't know how it's going to shake out in terms of who will be available for the Golden Knights, but we'll see as we get there. Let's go downstairs and hear from Bruce Cassidy as he addresses the media.
It's a post-game show. It seemed like for long stretches of that third period, Columbus played like they were just content with getting the game to overtime. And I know it's not easy to just break that down, but what do you guys need to do a little bit better to maybe not allow them to take the game to overtime?
Well, I mean, we don't want to go reckless either, right? So we got to be careful. I mean, look at the game. Both their goals came us mishandling pucks. So you got to be careful. If you're going to try to attack a team that's kind of in a shell and got five guys back, then you better execute very well because they're coming back the other way. So that's the problem. It's not, as you said, easy as it looks. We had some moments in the O zone. You know, once we got into their zone and got a puck back, whether that's through a forecheck or an entry, usually a forecheck, they didn't allow us to enter very well. The way they played their 1-1-3, they were pretty dedicated to having guys back. Then we started, you know, getting some looks. I would say a lot of that happened in the first period, much more than the third, right? And I mean, it's crunch time. They're in a playoff position for a reason right now. They've learned to handle those situations. So a couple of looks, that's it. Theo had one late, but it's, again, an individual kind of one-on-one once you get moving around. And we weren't able to generate enough of that, get pucks back. So get in the zone cleaner, but they have bodies, so you don't want to turn it over. Because we tried that, and we did turn it over a few times, and now you're defending the other way. I think one time Marchenko hit the crossbar in the third because of that. So there's a trade-off there. I would say where we failed is getting the puck back through the forecheck, and it was a lot of puck placement, right? Their goalie gets out and stops it against that 1-1-3. You got options already. They're outnumbered. You need a puck click quickly. So we could have done a – we needed to do a better job of that where we put it. Because in the first period, we put it in better spots. We got it back. They're a young defense. They like to make plays. We put them under duress. We got pucks back. We didn't do enough of that as the game went on.
I know maybe last few nights – not the results you wanted, but you've gotten points now, I think, in five of your last six games. So is there a bit of a glass half full kind of approach to that?
We'll look back and realize we did get points. It was a 500 month. That's not what we're aiming for, but said this many times, if that turns out to be your worst month, you're going to be in good shape. We have three more to go. So, you know, ask me again in April, but disappointing. And, you know, in overtime the other night, we had a good look early. We didn't recover. Right, we kind of duplicated, and they get an easy goal. You know, tonight we again look like we were going to have a chance off the rush. We have a kind of a abbreviated 2-on-1. We don't get a play to the net, you know, and then we get some ozone time, and again, you know, they strip us, and they get the goalie makes two big saves. You know what I mean? Like you hope you get the second rebound out of the way, at least live to fight another day, but didn't work out that way. So that's. That's how it ends, right? But we'll look at it and we'll say we defended certain things, parts of the game very well. They're a high-scoring team. I think they might be third in the league, right? There's Washington, them. I know we're up there, Tampa, Colorado. You know, so that's the good news. I'm sure if you asked their locker room, it wasn't easy for them to find space out there too. So there's that part of it. Interior ice was good for us in the first period. We did not get inside enough in the second and third. We got inside late in the second. They took the goal off the board, right? We lost one the other night in a one-goal game. So there's a little bit of that going on. Both times it's Barbie, a guy that, you know, could use a goal more, probably more than anybody right now. So fortunate for him. But that's hockey. And you know, we need a little more offense right now from certain individuals. And hopefully it'll come. It came earlier in the year, so I believe it's there. It's just didn't come enough this month.
Paul.
Hey, Bruce. Paul DeLosantos, NHL.com. Just overall, it seems like Noah and Tomas, and you touched on earlier, why do you think the team isn't going to the net front enough in critical spots?
I think it's because it's games in the middle of the season. It becomes harder to get there, and it's more work, and your body's probably as sore as it's been in a while. So there's a little bit of the physical preventing you, and then there's the mental you got to play through. And we got there at times, but not enough. And they might say the same thing. I mean, Dallas would have said the same thing in the third period of the night. They got one off the rush. So it's not unique to the Vegas Golden Knights. It's that time of year. So you're looking for maybe easier transition. So we got to keep pushing the guys to make sure they understand that. And for the most part, they do. These are smart players in the room. They've been around. It's the will to do it has to come back again. And hopefully it comes back sooner than later. Because I did think in the first period when we got in there, there was some rebounds to be had. Just thinking off the top of my head, Stoney had one. I mean, 95, Olofsson's in all alone with one. Barbie had a good look that was off net. So they were there and we were inside. We just weren't able to sustain that. And I know that was your question. I'm trying to answer it. I think it's a battle of wills right now to do it. So we got to keep pushing through that. And, you know, that'll be our challenge as a staff on Sunday to make sure we're doing that. Because that's what you need to do to the Rangers. They got a good goaltender. If he sees it, he's probably stopping us. You got to get inside, get in his way, disrupt him a little bit, get some rebounds. So, you know, that'll be the challenge.
Ken and Jesse.
Ken Mulkey, Sinman.Vegas. I know that specific neutral zone, there's been some issues dealing with it this year. Is there anything you think's coming up every time?
Well, the teams play it for a reason, because you got three people across the blue line instead of two. So it's a little harder to get in. When you're doing that, you're taking people away from neutral zone forecheck and forecheck. So you're not generating. I mean, they got one goal too, right? So there's some risk in that. And that's what happens with a lot of those teams. So Florida played it the other night. They got one. So if you don't turn the puck over, that's typically, and are willing to find your forecheck routes and get it back, that's how you got to try to get offense. Or when you play a little bit of ozone and then they throw it out and change, they don't get a chance to set it up. So now you get going, you play a little quicker. So that's what we have to do. We got to play a little quicker when it comes to that. If you don't and they have their numbers, then it's something I believe, Ken, you have to practice quite consistently, because the timing has to be really good. You're going to have four or five guys coming back with speed, running their routes, and it needs to be precision. So I believe you get to a playoff series, you have an easier time, because it's repetition. The guy, when you play on Thursday against one team and Saturday and Tuesday and you're off and you're flying, the guys aren't, it's not as automatic. And hockey's fast, and they have good sticks, Columbus. They had good sticks today. I don't see them enough to say that's an everyday thing, but they had good sticks tonight. So you better be clean with it and execute at a high level. And in January, you've seen a lot of teams aren't always executing at a high level because of the fatigue factor. So, and we didn't at enough of a level tonight. Or we'd score more. Or we'd get more chances. So no matter what they played, right, this isn't just a system thing. Right now we're not executing at a high enough level consistently. And you see it with the chances. I mean, you watch the game, you could probably say, oh, this line didn't seem to generate much. Well, it's usually an execution thing. I mean, our guys, I think we're an effort team. Not too many days I go in there and say, oh, we played like dogs tonight. I mean, the guys are, they're trying, and that's why we're in a lot of these games, and because you need effort to defend. But right now, offensively, we're not executing at a high enough level. Take over some of these games offensively. And I thought against Florida was better the other night. As it went along tonight, it wasn't better as it went along. It was better early, and we weren't able to capitalize. Maybe if we get a couple to go, it opens up the game for us a little bit, and it goes our way. But that didn't happen.
Last one, Jesse
Granger at The Athletic. Sorry to go back to the net front, but aside from the bodies getting to the front of the net, do you think the offense around that is executing well enough to give them those scenarios to make those plays, or do you need something else to allow those players to get into those positions?
Well, I think we don't have enough of a shot mentality, so that's part of it. So if you're not putting the puck in the net, okay, so Columbus is decor. However you want to look at them, they're a little bit younger, more mobile. They're not all 6'5", right? So the easiest way to break them down is probably force them to defend big bodies getting inside. But the pucks have to arrive, right? So there's a little bit of that overpass mentality that our team we might be third in the league. What I say, I think we're second or third. Let's say top five. Well, for a reason. We got guys that can make some plays and look to make plays. Nights like tonight, maybe not there as a coach, you're like, I wish we had a shot more. We'll go out and get five maybe and make some plays, and I'll say, well, let the guys play. So that's my challenge to make sure. And we tried to remind them a little more after the second intermission about that. Like, keep putting pucks there. Make sure there's a body there, and they'll get tired. They'll get tired of defending 6'3" guys, and then you'll get an extra second in there. So I don't think that happened enough. So I don't know exactly where you're going with the question. That to me, it's we didn't have enough of a shot mentality tonight. The pieces are in that room to score goals. I believe it is that. Now, William Karlsson drives the line, right? So we miss him. So I'm not going to sit here and say we don't miss the guy, but and he opens up ice with pace. So he probably gets through the neutral zone tonight a little easier than some of the other guys. And maybe that he's able to drive pucks deep and open up some ice. And so that was a little bit of, we certainly miss him, but not to the point where we can't score goals. We some of the other lines need to start thinking, okay, it's not going in. Let's bully our way in there with the pucks arriving. And, you know, we'll talk about that as we head east, because you know, we got some teams that are tight check. Jersey plays a tight game. The Islanders are playing well. They're playing a tight game. When the Rangers are on, they keep it out of their net. So, you know, that's what's in front of us.
Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you.
That was head coach Bruce Cassidy as he addressed the media after tonight's 2-1 loss in overtime to the Columbus Blue Jackets. Let's take a look at the highlights in this game. We go back to the first period. The Golden Knights open the scoring 5 minutes into the game as Tomas Hertl cut to the inside and scored his 20th of the year.
Haig finds Dorofeev, rink wide right, Hertl takes it off the far boards, works to the slot, him off the stick, gets it back, shoots, he scores! Points in 11 straight for Tomas Hertl, his 20th goal of the season. A snapper from the left dot inside the short side post, Vegas has a 1-0 lead, 5 minutes in.
Tomas Hertl from Pavel Dorofeev and Nicholas Haig, 4:58 of the first period, made it 1-0 Vegas, but the Blue Jackets tied the game late in the period when Adam Fantilli chipped in a puck inside the crease.
Columbus gets the puck and out they go. Far side entry, three men towards the net. Centering pass saved by Samsonov. And now we will try to seal it. No whistle. Now the puck is in. Fantilli ends up with a goal with a minute 26 to go in the first.
15th goal of the year for Adam Fantilli, unassisted, 18:34. The first period tied the game at 1. No scoring in the second period. And in the third period, Shea Theodore had the best chance of the period, but ripped his shot off the post.
Jack accelerates behind the goal to the far side corner. And up the boards he goes. Eichel hands it off. Little fake, cutting. Theodore hits the bar! And it goes up and out of play.
So we'd head to overtime, and for the second game in a row, a turnover in OT leads to transition the other way, and Cole Sillinger wins the game on a rebound.
Petrangelo lost the puck. It's going to be a breakaway for Columbus. Here's Kent Johnson behind everybody. The lefty, save, rebound, another save, a third try, they score. Another giveaway leads to a Vegas overtime loss. Columbus 2, Vegas 1 in overtime.
8th of the year for Cole Sillinger from Zach Werenski and Kent Johnson. 52 seconds into overtime, wins the game for Columbus 2-1, and the Golden Knights fall to 31-15-6 for 68 points on the year. We're back with more in a moment. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
See, the future of the VGK as the Henderson Silver Knights forge the night at Lee's Family Forum on February 8th. The first 3,000 fans in attendance will receive a free Bill Foley bobblehead. Visit hendersonsilverknights.com for tickets today. It's the VGK postgame show. The Golden Knights fall 2-1 in overtime to the Columbus Blue Jackets, 31-15-6 for 68 points on the year, tied with the Edmonton Oilers for the top spot in the Pacific Division. Next in action Sunday, 3 o'clock in New York against the Rangers. It's a four-game road trip for the Golden Knights leading into the Four Nations face-off. You've got the Rangers, the Islanders, the Devils and the Bruins playing every other day. So Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. That's the remaining schedule for the Golden Knights before the break and Four Nations faceoff. And I think for Vegas, you got to find a way to pick up points. They've done that recently, 2-1-3 in their last six games, but that's not the standard. 500's not the standard for this team. So it'll be interesting to see how they are able to kind of pull out of this and put points on the board before getting to the break and being able to reset for the stretch run, the stretch drive in the National Hockey League season. That's going to do it for us here on the VGK postgame show. Extended postgame show, your phone calls. That's coming up next. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network postgame show. For the station staying on for more game highlights, interviews, and your phone calls coming up next at 702-876-1340. Good night, and thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network. It's the extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show on Fox Sports Las Vegas, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Let your voice be heard by calling in at 702-876-1340. Now here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
It's the extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 2-1 the final. The Columbus Blue Jackets defeat the Vegas Golden Knights in overtime. 68 points for the Golden Knights, 31-15-6. Tied for first place in the Pacific Division with the Edmonton Oilers. 702-876-1340. 702-876-1340. It's your postgame show. I feel compelled to remind you of that. This is the place for you to voice your opinions, to voice your concerns. If you're frustrated, glass half full, glass half empty, doesn't really matter. But this is the place for you. So, if you've got an opinion, bring it to the table. 702-876-1340. January's over. 6-6-3, the record. Exactly 500 for the Golden Knights. Let's talk about it. Let's go out to the phone lines, bring in Sal. Hey, Sal, how you doing?
Irritated. I'll keep it classy, but highly critical. I was at the game tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Two things I'm thinking about as I'm walking out of the arena. One, if you blur out the jerseys, the faces of our players, and you watch that game, there's no way you could tell me that you recognize a player that stood out as an elite player for Team USA or elite player for Team Canada. It was one of the most uninspiring and boring games I've physically been to in person.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been to blowout lopsided losses that were just stinkers, but this one hit differently. We played a Columbus team that is hot. They're a good quality team.
Sure.
However, outside of their arena, they're not. They're 29th in the league in road win percentage,
mm-hmm.
and they're 26th in the league in goals against. And we just were sloppy. I think we generated maybe two official odd man rushes before the overtime 2-on-1 to start. But it was, for me as a fan watching that game, uninspiring appearances, and it was boring. And I've never said that leaving a game, even though we've lost games lopsided before.
Yeah, I mean, it was low event for sure. Like outside of, you know, the first period for the Golden Knights where they did have some quality chances. Second and third period, there wasn't much going either way. Not for Columbus, not for Vegas.
I felt like, and I kind of texted this to you too, it felt like they went all out in those first 5 to 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking they're playing well and they're motivated. And then all of a sudden, it's 1-1 after the first period. I'm feeling like, oh, I feel like we should be ahead in this game right now, the way that we started. And then it was just a lull, like you said. There wasn't much opportunities for either team. Neither team, it wasn't like Columbus stood out. I mean, they hit the post once, we hit the post once in the third period. Neither team really, like, took the game for themselves to win it. It just, you know, when you have 3-on-3 overtime, you're going to someone's got to score. So
sure. Yeah.
It was really uninspiring, and I hope this is the worst I've seen.
All right. Thanks for the call, Sal. I appreciate it. 702-876-1340. Kind of to that point, Bruce Cassidy said it post-game. 500 month for the Golden Knights. That's not necessarily their standard, but if over the course of the season your worst month is 500, you're going to be in pretty good shape. So we'll see how the Golden Knights finish things out in February, March, and April. 702-876-1340. That's the number if you'd like to join us here. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Bring in Mike. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Well, strong take from Sal, and I turned down tickets tonight, and I said to my wife as the game progressed, I'm glad I did. It was just not fun, to sit through and watch on any level. But it's Golden Knights hockey. They're not all supposed to be the best of the best. There is a difference. It happened. The best team did not win tonight. The team that played best did. And it happened somewhere else in this great land, and that was in Edmonton, Alberta, where Detroit went in and beat Edmonton 4-2 in regulation. I want to remind everyone that the only two times that the VGK has failed to get out of the first round, one year they didn't make it at all, and last year they didn't get out of the first round, were because they couldn't get that extra point, that what do you call loser point or standings point, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And we've been getting that 5 out of 6 points. Let's not forget that. It's important to remember, don't you think?
It is, but the Oilers did get a point out of their loss to Detroit. It was in the shootout that they lost.
Oh, they lost in a shootout. I apologize.
Yep.
Okay. So we're dead even then.
Yep.
Okay. Whatever. The same thing happened in terms of a loss mm-hmm. against a team that you're supposed to beat the other conference.
Again, Detroit, they're right in the mix for a playoff spot, too. Like, they're playing
right.
better. They've been significantly better since the coaching change, so...
And McClellan has done a whale of a job, but
yeah.
I'm not here to talk about how the East has fared and how they're all battling for one spot and you know, so on and so forth. The most prescient comment of the night came at the very end of the broadcast, and sometimes we used to put it more crassly because, you know, in those days we were able to say things that you can't say today. But sometimes a coach will let his players somewhat dictate the game, or at least pregame, they'll let them dictate. And here's what I think is going on. I think Coach Cassidy is allowing Alex Pietrangelo to tell him, I'm going to play. I'm going to play right up till the end. I just don't see it. I don't get it. And I don't think Gary does either. Do you?
I mean, I think if Alex Pietrangelo feels he's healthy and can play, he's in your lineup, and thanks, Mike, for the call. Now, if that status has changed, right? Like, if you've got something you're dealing with, but you're still able to play through it, and you're still able to, you know, get to a certain percentage of 100%. I don't know what that percentage needs to be, but if Pietrangelo feels confident in his body that A, it's going to hold up, that B, it's not going to cause further damage, and C, he can play and play to a high level, I think he's in your lineup. Now, if that's changed, then I think you have to make some decisions, and you know, we'll see what happens over the final four games going into Four Nations when it comes to Alex Pietrangelo. But you know, I don't know that physically that's what led to the turnover for Pietrangelo in overtime. I think he was trying to make a play and it didn't work out that way, and you know, because we know that he's kind of going through something, we're going to zero in on that and say, well, that's because of whatever it is he's going through. I don't know that that's the case. I think that he made a decision, and it was more decision-making than it was physicality. But that being said, you do have players in Ben Hutton and Caden Korzak that could certainly use some playing time here for the Golden Knights. 702-876-1340, that's the number. Let's go back out to the phone lines, bring in Stephanie. Hey, Stephanie, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing, Ryan?
Good.
So it really stinks to only come away with 1 point again. They looked so good in the first period, and it just wasn't dropping for them. And then just kind of an unfortunate goal to get Columbus on the board. It's better than when we weren't getting any points, right?
Sure.
Like getting
yeah.
1 point, walking away from a game with 1 point is definitely better than walking away with a game from a game with no points.
Sure.
January just kind of stinks for the VGK, I guess. Historically, it just feels like it's always kind of a down month. But, you know, we've got the four-game road trip that hopefully they will, you know, be able to do well on and then have a break. And hopefully when we come back, Pietrangelo will, whatever it is that's bothering him or hindering him, staying away from the Four Nations face-off to get that fixed. Hopefully he'll be back. Hopefully Wild Bill will be back. Hopefully everyone else will be rested and ready to play.
Yeah, I'm with you, Stephanie, and thanks for the call. I remember distinctly kind of 2 years ago when the Golden Knights were getting to the bye week and the All-Star break, there was kind of questions about whether or not the break was coming at the right time for the Golden Knights. I have similar views today coming up when it comes to the Four Nations face-off as I had then. We'll get to that a little bit later on. But let's get back out to the phone line, 702-876-1340. It's your post-game show. If you have strong opinions, call in. I want to hear from you. Let's go back out to the phones and bring in Chris. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Doing great. Calling you from Lake Tahoe. Wanted to wish a happy birthday to the biggest VGK fan I know, Madeline, who spent her sweet 16 with the Golden Knights tonight. Wanted to ask you, you know, Cassidy said in his post-game show he thinks the goals are in that room. Mm-hmm. You know, on the one hand, you can look at it as a 500 month. That's the way he said. You know, technically it's 500 on points. On the other hand, it was a Raider-esque 3-9 wins and losses. You know, we talked a little bit about, I think there's probably some line changes coming. I wanted to ask you, what, you know, it seems to me decoupling Stone from the first line, I don't know how we get away from that, but what are the line changes you think we need to make? And, you know, at this point in the season going into February, I've always felt like we knew who the team was and what the roster was. Do we know who the roster is going into the end of the season, or are there some changes coming that that we need?
Yeah, I mean, Chris, it's a good question. As far as the line combinations that I'd like to see, run it back to what happened and what worked in the Florida game, right? Like, you put Ron Bjerg with Howden and Stone. You put Alexander Holtz in the lineup. It's the best he's looked in a minute with Jack Eichel and Ivan Barbashev. You keep the hurdle line together, and that allows you to go with Pearson, Waugh, and Kolesar as your fourth line, your energy line, your identity line, whatever you want to call it. That was the most balanced the Golden Knights had. Without William Karlsson in the fold, I think you've got to try to find or strive for more balance in your attack. And thanks for the call, Chris. Now, as far as is there something out there to help this team? Well, I think when they're fully healthy, we know what their four centers are, right? Down the middle, this team's pretty locked up. It is Jack Eichel, Tomas Hertl, William Karlsson, Nicholas Waugh. I would love to see a version of this team where, again, Eichel and Stone are away from one another, because I just think it makes you more dynamic. It gives you more options. It makes you more balanced. It turns you into a four-line behemoth. I think defensively, everything's pretty set. I think you know what your goaltenders are. So, again, if you're looking at kind of where can you add or where can you improve, I think you're going to look at the wings and you're going to look kind of middle of the lineup. That's really the only way that I see it moving in that direction for the Golden Knights. 702-876-1340, that's the number. I'd like to hear from more of you on the other side of the break. Dial in right now. We've got lines open. 702-876-1340. It's the extended postgame show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back to your calls on the extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
Extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. 2-1 the final. The Blue Jackets defeat the Golden Knights in overtime. Vegas 31, 15, and 6. 68 points on the year. Next in action Sunday, 3 p.m. in New York against the Rangers. It's your postgame show. If you were at the game tonight, I invite you to call in. If you can hear me and you're a Golden Knights fan and you have a lot of big opinions, or you just have something to get off your chest, if you're frustrated, call in. If you're glass half full, call in. If you're glass half empty, call in. 702-876-1340. We have lines open. If you call in, we're putting you on the air. I am going to check in on the text line in the meantime. Text line's your spot for instant reaction, 702-876-1340. We make it easy on you. Same number to dial in if you want to talk to me as it is to send in your text. Ken says nothing to be positive about tonight. Team was great in the first 5 to 10 minutes, then after that, flat as a pancake. I mean, you can look at it that way, but, you know, the Golden Knights had gone through a stretch where they had, yeah, I think, one win in five games and quite a few losses in regulation, at least. And again, I get it. Glass half full. That's what I'm going to be here. That's kind of the point. But 2-1-3 in their last six games, like, they are picking up points. And I know it's not ideal. I know they're not victories. I know it's not pushing the needle in terms of gaining any separation at the top of the Pacific Division, but they are still at the top of the Pacific Division, and they do have points in five out of the last six games. So I'll be positive about that. Let's go back out to the phone lines, bring in Tony. Hey, Tony, how you doing?
Frustration setting in, because if there's a stat on teams that put pucks at the net without hitting a goaltender and him not having to make a play, I think we lead the league. I have to disagree with the first caller, Sal, about the boring game. The first 5 minutes of the first period was just that. We were throwing pucks at the net, and nothing was coming close to the goaltender for him to have to make a play on. And you're just scratching your head going, what do you need to do? There was one literally 3 feet from the crease, and you missed everything. And I think the frustration was kind of heard in Coach Cassidy's voice when he says, you know, sometimes there's too much of a mentality of pass first and, instead of shooting. Mm-hmm. And I'm still trying to figure out why with Eichel and Hurdle on the ice that Petrangelo is bringing that puck into the zone on a 3-on-3. I mean, usually you see that when a defenseman's bringing the puck down, they pull it back to allow the two forwards to come out, to bring the puck and bring that into the crease. And so that one just, you know, made no sense to me.
Well, but it's three. I mean, it's
the two. It was lost. Was Hurdle? Is that now? Did he now just set the record for consecutive games, or is he still one up with Eichel?
He's one off Eichel. Eichel had a 12 game point streak. Hurdle brought his point streak up to 11.
Okay.
Yep.
So. But to me, that kind of got lost tonight, too, is
sure. Yeah.
How he has just been on a streak. And you talk about not since Fleury left has there been anybody on the ice that always has a smile like Hurdle does.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Tony. Tomas Hurdle loves playing hockey, and you're right. He's always got that bright and vibrant attitude when he's at the rink. Let's go back out to the phone lines, bring in Jason. Hey, Jason, how you doing?
What up, man? Went to the game tonight, and yeah. I can't fault the Knights. They look good. They were on point. They were firing away. I don't know. It's just I think it boils down to puck luck. The first 30 games, they were shooting outrageous. You're just not getting any love right now. It happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I...
But I don't know. I enjoyed the game. They were fun. What else can he ask? We got a point.
Sure. Yeah, you're right. I mean, you've got five more games going into the Four Nations face-off. Obviously, that's a big break in the season. What are you looking for the Golden Knights on this upcoming four-game road trip?
Well, so we've been awful against the East. If we can split at least two or get 5 out of 10,
yeah,
that'd be a bonus. I'm not mad that... I mean, when the season first started, who thought Hurdle was going to be scoring like this? Scorafea be scoring like this? How did Kolasar? Nobody thought they were going to be doing this. Everybody had their doubts. But the Knights seem to always come through, and I'm enjoying it and love it.
All right, good stuff, Jason. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Optimism. It's always nice when you can get a little bit of optimism on a program. All right, let's go back out of the phone lines, bring in Patrick. Hey, Patrick, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah, I was at the game tonight, just listening to some of the calls, and it's frustrating to be there sometimes to watch us play, you know, when we first started out, it was exciting. We were on top of them. But it seems like even with Dallas the other night, like, they adjust to what we're doing, and then all of a sudden we flip back to this. Come up the ice, dump it in, one guy chases it, they get it, and then it's just like this back and forth. Like, we stop being aggressive, and it just kind of like, all right, Cassie, can we adjust to this? Can we do something different? And, yeah, it's just frustrating to watch sometimes, especially knowing how the game goes.
Yeah, I think when you look at it from that perspective, especially in the case of the Dallas Stars, like, that's a good team. They're going to make adjustments. They're going to be able to kind of get their game going. And, you know, what's really been kind of the issue throughout the month of January is that when there's been that pushback, it's taken the Golden Knights a little bit of time to kind of get back to their game or make their adjustment. And tonight, to me, and Patrick, thanks for the call, I think they just needed to be a little bit more direct in the offensive zone. And it just never really happened. And when you're a team that makes plays, and they make a lot of plays, and they generally create really good scoring chances out of making those plays, when that's shut down, when that's not there, you got to simplify a little bit. And I think that's probably where the Golden Knights needed more in the second and third period. Take a break. Wrap it up on the Extended Postgame Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
To your calls on the extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
Wrapping it up here on the extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 2-1 the final. The Blue Jackets defeat the Golden Knights in overtime. Vegas 31-15-6, 68 points on the year. Next in action Sunday, 3 o'clock against the Rangers in New York. It's a four-game road trip leading into the break for Four Nations faceoff. You've got the Rangers, the Islanders, the Devils, and you finish up in Boston against the Bruins. The Golden Knights, another overtime loss, though you do look at kind of the micro view here. 2-1-3 in their last six games. Points in five out of the last six. It's not ideal. It's not their standard, but it is movement in the right direction. And for the Golden Knights, a strong road trip going into the break would certainly mean a lot to them coming out of the break. That's going to do it for us here on the Extended Postgame Show. Thanks to Bobby Machado back in the studio, keeping us on the air, making sure everything sounds great. And thanks to you, our listeners and our callers and our texters. It is your postgame show. You showed out tonight. It's not as much fun for me without your calls, your texts, and your input. Until Sunday, have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you then right here on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Thanks for listening to the extended Golden Knights postgame show on Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Your home for the Vegas Golden Knights. Have a good night and drive safe.